We're going to continue on in the message series, The Wonder of His Word. Of course, we're in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. We know that each section, there's 8 verses per section. Each one of those start with a Hebrew letter of the alphabet. And we're trying to just bring to our minds, and this chapter does, how powerful, how awe-inspiring that the Word of God truly is and how it does such an amazing work within our lives. I've shown you a couple things of natural wonders around the world in the U.S. My first picture I've got for you tonight is Cato Lake that is in Texas and also in Louisiana. Has anybody ever been to that? It is known, okay, yeah, so pretty awesome. I was kind of looking at some pictures, and it's known for the water flooding the trunks of the cypress trees. So if you kind of journeyed through it on a boat, it'd be pretty cool. There's a lot of great pictures online if you want to go and see it. So I'm sure if you were able to take a boat ride, it'd be a pretty wonderful thing to be able to see. The second one is also someplace I'd really like to go, and I try to get an aerial view there, of Niagara Falls. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? I mean, that just looks awesome, you know, and be able to stand and be able to see that. And as I studied on it a little bit, I didn't realize that that is the collective name for 3 different waterfalls that come together. And so that's pretty cool. Obviously, we know that part of it is in Ontario, Canada, and then the other part is in a big portion of it is in the United States. Kind of a depressing thought. But they believe around 5,000 people have perished going over those falls. And so don't want to take the awe away from that, but it just has so much history behind it. Now, I thought this was interesting. 6 million cubic feet, that is 44,883,116,128 gallons per minute during peak tourist hours flows over Niagara Falls. That's 2.7 trillion gallons per hour. Man, that's just hard to imagine, right? So the amount of electricity the power plants at Niagara Falls have the capacity to output is enough to power 3.8 million homes in the U.S. and in Canada. So, I don't know, just cool facts. You know, I'm kind of like that. I'm the guy that likes the Discovery Channel and watches those weather shows and, you know, those nature things, and I think it's just kind of interesting. And so that's probably why I'm showing you that. I probably have more fun looking it up than you have me giving it to you. But anyway, but it's just things that kind of make us wonder. Well, the whole thought of it, again, is, of course, for us to have an awe and a wonder of God's Word and how it works in and through our lives. The heart of our series is about embracing the infinite power of God's Word, how it reveals the core of His character, how it transforms our lives within, how it nurtures us to mature in His holiness and who He wants us to become, how it prompts us to walk in obedient faith and to help us take on the pressures and the trials of everyday life with the peace and the victory that only He can give us. That's what the Word of God does. So powerful in so many ways. Let's just jump right in it tonight. We're on the 7th letter, which is Zion, and it is Psalms 119, verse number 49. It says, remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. That always amazes me when I see that phrase, because I'd said it, I believe, in the first week. When he says, when I take comfort in your rules that are old and that are ancient, we're talking about the first 5 books of the Bible. Right. You and I read the first 5 books of the Bible, and we're like, man, let's get to Jesus, you know? You know, because it can be incredibly intense. But if this individual can find such love and power and mercy and grace in those first 5 books, that tells me I better start searching a little bit harder as I'm reading some of those difficult passages. But it says, verse number 53, hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. Now, obviously, you see there are many words to describe the Word of God. Law, statutes, precepts. They're all revealing God's nature, His character. It is His word. Now, the author here continues to express the affliction in which he is having to endure. You will see that throughout this entire chapter, there are those that are working against him, those that are trying to even take his life. Now, notice the expressed emotion in verse number 53. Hot indignation seizes me. What that's telling us is the author here at times is overwhelmed with just outright anger. He's frustrated. He's angry at the circumstance. He's angry at what's going on in life. He's angry at those who oppose the word of God. Directly, he says that. For those who rebel against your ways, for those who not take up on your ways, those who work against it, those who are trying to destroy it, those who are trying to silence it, those who are saying that it's false, and those who don't want to believe in it, and those who don't want to help others with it, and those who are just working against you, oh God, it just really riles him up on the inside. And he even just tells us how he's feeling with this hot indignation. Now, we know life will cause us to feel an array of emotions. I know you all could testify to that. From exhaustion to anger and every other emotion that we encounter during trying times of our life, the Word of God gives you and I what we need to endure them all if we will just continue to seek God and to seek His face and to seek Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit as we apply the Word of God daily to our lives. So let's consider the theme of this section tonight as you see a word, reoccurring word, and that is remember. Again, seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Zion. And so the subject title that we will put with this is this: remembering God's word is significant to living in God's blessings. Now, in the first of this section, the author directs his words to God's memory, just in the first couple of verses. And then you will see him transition to how he speaks of remembering himself. Now, we do know this, and I believe you understand this very much so, that remembering is a vital component of utilizing God's word to its full potential in and through our lives. We just can't read it. We've got to understand it. We've got to know it. We've got to be taught in it. We've got to learn it. And then we've got to have that within our spirits and our lives. And then the Holy Spirit helps us bring things to our remembrance to be able to recall the things that God is speaking to us in order to help us in every situation that we face in life. So first, just in these first couple of verses, let's look at this, how God remembers. Now, obviously, the word remember means to bring to awareness that which one has experienced, seen, or known. Now, right here, when applied by the psalmist in speaking of the Lord remembering, it implies God bringing to mind his promises and then actively working on our behalf. Now think about it. Certainly God is omniscient, meaning that he is all-knowing and he cannot forget anything. He may choose, though, and he does through Christ, to forget our sins and our failures. Aren't you thank God that God chooses to do that? Now, he is all-knowing, and so that kind of steps makes us take a step back, and that makes us kind of have this wondrous, awe-inspiring thought about who he is. But can I tell you, God can do whatever he pleases to do, and he chooses to forget our past failures and our sins once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. This even begins here in the Old Testament, as we see in Isaiah 43, 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. We talked a little bit about that on this past Sunday morning. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. What's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ becoming our Lord and our Savior. He will make that with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It goes on down to verse 34, and he says, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. That is a statement, a powerful statement that God makes over you and I. It is repeated in Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 12, and also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. And he says again, I will remember their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. Thank God that he chooses to treat our sins and our failures and our mistakes in such a manner. You know, a lot of people try to bring up stuff in our past. The enemy really tries to bring up stuff in our past. He tries to wreak havoc on us. All the failures and mistakes, and sometimes when life throws something at us, you know, he is going to try to do everything in his influence because he doesn't live inside of us. He doesn't control our minds. He doesn't control what's going on in our spirits. You know that. I say that often. The Word of God teaches that, but he can certainly influence. So if he can see a circumstance that's going to try to get your old self to creep out, you better believe it. He is going to try to bring that up. But thank God that he chooses He chooses not to bring those things back to memory. That ought to give us some hope right there. That'll help you and I understand the life that we can live. Now, on the flip side, God does choose to remember to do good to us in keeping his promises and working on our behalf and helping you and I to live in his blessings. Isn't God amazing? We ought to worship him again. Yes. Right? I mean, that's probably enough said tonight already that he chooses to forget everything that's wrong about us, and then he chooses to do right over us so we can walk in his blessings. That's really what he wants for us. So do you think it's God who trips us up during life? No, it's ourselves. It's ourselves falling, prey to the enemy, falling prey to the lies, falling prey to our past, falling prey to that bondage, falling prey to the things that no longer need to exist. But God, as far as God's concerned, that part of our lives doesn't exist anymore. What does exist is who he is and what he wants to do in and through our lives. So look at the good side here, which all of that's good, but notice how he wants to help us walk in his blessings. Consider some other psalms. Psalm 105, just a portion, verses 7 through 11. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. That's where we come in, that everlasting covenant. We're a part of that. And 11, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan your portion for an inheritance. He remembers. In Psalm 111, verse number 5, it says, he provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever that he has spoken over and about his people. He has shown his people the power of his works and giving them the inheritance of the nations. The work of his hands are faithful and just. All of his precepts, all of his laws, all of his ways, all of his words, they are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Thank God for the way in which he remembers the things in which he wants to do for you and I. Psalm 115, verse number 9, has the same theme. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help. He is their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and he is their shield. You who fear the Lord, Kawita Assembly of God, and all who are here tonight, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. That's spoken over you. That word of God is in the canon of Scripture because is it anointed by God for his people to be able to receive in their lives so it could give them a hope within them that would never fade. That's what God remembers to do for you and I. Now, with the psalmist asking God to remember in his prayer, he is expressing his complete faith, knowing God is going to work on his behalf. You see, he gets overwhelmed with anger and frustration and emotions. He gets exhausted. He just finds in place sometimes where it's incredibly difficult. But then here he has this portion of prayer in this psalm that he is writing. And in that, as he asks God to remember, he's doing so because that is his way of stating his faith, knowing that no matter what, God is going to work on his behalf. And that's the same way you and I need to approach this. Amen. Now, could this be the type of prayer? What he is saying right here, could this be the type of prayer that can move mountains in our own lives? Man, I believe so. Sometimes you don't know what to pray. Pick up Psalm 119 and just start praying it over your life, just as it was written by the psalmist. Now, let's look at the second thing and how the psalmist remembers. In verses 51 through 56, the remaining portion of this psalm. Now, it would have been easy for the psalmist to justify actions and emotions that would lead him to getting even or taking a position of unforgiveness and even hatred. Notice what I put here on my notes. I just gave you my notes up there. He could have given up. He could have allowed his adversity to dismantle his faith. Because sometimes our faith just isn't taken out in one shot. Most of the time, the enemy tries to dismantle it, takes portions of it. Then before you know it, it doesn't seem like there's much there left. He could have become bitter and even numb to life itself. The psalmist could have gone in the opposite direction of what God would have him do. But in reading this, we know that he chose not to. So just like God, he chose to remember the promises and truth of God's word. He decided God's ways were better than his ways. That God's thoughts, what does the word tell us, is higher than our thoughts. He chose to keep on the forefront of his mind the blessings of walking in the ways of God's wondrous word. He realized if he deleted the word of God from his life, all hope would be lost. And sometimes you and I are probably tempted to do so. You ever just been so frustrated, and I'm not trying to pull anything out of you tonight other than just try to take you to something very relevant. You've ever been so frustrated what was spoken in things such as social media that you're like, I'm done. I'm just going to delete it all. And you just want to get rid of it. You ever done that? You guys are like, yes, Pastor, we have. I did that 2 hours ago before I got here. No. And sometimes we probably do that when it comes to our spiritual life. I hope you never get there, but I know we've probably all been close, and maybe some of us have been there. You know what? I'm just going to delete it. I'm going to delete prayer. I'm going to delete reading. I'm going to delete going to church. I'm just going to delete that out of my life. If it comes back, so be it. But right now, I just don't want anything to do with it. It would have been easy for this individual to go there, but he certainly did not do that. He knew that that would be foolish, and that would get him nowhere and just make things worse. Now, I came across a quote that I thought that was pretty powerful that helps you and I to understand it's important that we don't ever treat the Word of God in a way where it's deleted from our lives. Now, I kind of took it and made it my own here and added a little bit, quite a bit to it, but unless the Word of God is read, revered, taught, preached, and faithfully committed to following in our church, specifically in our church, and in our homes, then you and I are one generation away from it becoming obsolete and eventually extinct or deleted in our lives. Think about that. If it's not in your home, and if we're not getting it here, we're headed down a dangerous path. That's where the Old Testament shows us a lot. Because God's word was so rich. His ways, his might, his power, his majesty, his supernatural being was so rich in so many ways. And then when one generation took advantage of it, when one generation decided to, you know, intermingle with things of the world that they should not have done, and they began to think like the ways of the world, then they started to tolerate the things of the world. Then they thought, okay, there's a lot of other things that we can put in with our faith and with our belief. And the next thing you know, they have deleted the word of God from their very own lives. And because of that, a generation got lost. And it took another generation that somewhere, somehow, the word of God was found and spoken to grab a hold of it and say, hey, let's go back to where God meant for us to be. Don't you think that truth can be in our own lives? I mean, if we as parents, as grandparents, as overseers of our children and our grandchildren are not speaking the word of God, praying the word of God, talking about those stories, don't you know that if we take that for granted, thinking it's all going to happen here at times, if we delete it from our home, don't you think we're probably missing out on some blessings that there would be, and we're causing probably more harm? Well, we are causing more harm than we are good. Don't take that for granted. And guys, I know how easy that to do. Being in a pastor's home, we'll be talking sometimes about stories, and our girls will be talking about something in the Bible, and they will totally just butcher that story. And I'm thinking, girls, have I not done better than that? You know, no, Samson did not kill Goliath, all right? And David wasn't thrown in the lion's den, you know? Now, maybe it's not that bad. Well, I shouldn't throw them under the bus. They're not here, but you ask them about it. All right, anyway. And I was the same way. When I was young, took advantage of it. Just think about that. Is there much significance in remembering the word of God in all facets of our life? Absolutely. In this passage, the psalmist gives us specific insight on one of the ways in which he kept the word of God on the forefront of his mind. I thought this was pretty interesting. Hadn't really seen this before. And what did he do? He turned the word of God into songs. Did you catch that? Not only is this a powerful way to remember, but also a way to keep your attitude in check concerning the word. Instead of being something that is seen as being heavy, a heavy load to bear, because sometimes that's what we think about the word of God. Well, it's just too heavy. It's just too much. I just can't understand it. Instead of making a burden, when you sing a song, it's more of a blessing. It's more joyful, and it causes you to rejoice. So he would take the word of God, and of course, that's why we have the book of Psalms, which is a book of songs. It is the word of God that is sung to a tune as the people bring that to remembrance. I believe there's much to this. Let's go over into the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5. As I read a very familiar passage, think about what we just said. Now apply this passage with that. Verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? That is the Word of God in that song coming to life as you worship Him, just as we did just a few moments ago. May every song we sing be based out of the truth of God's Word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know it well. Notice what it says. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Pretty powerful. Then as we shift back over into a couple of psalms that I read earlier, I read you kind of the middle of them. Let me take you back to the first of those. Psalms 105, the first six verses says this: Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works, glory is his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered, O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Man, how can you bring those things to remembrance? How can you speak the wondrous things of God? How can you speak the love of God? How can you have that scripture be alive in your spirit? Make it a song within your heart, a song that you literally sing out in your personal time or when you're gathered with friends and family as you're worshiping his holy name. Psalm 111, just a few verses there. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of upright, in the congregation, as we are seated tonight. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and he is merciful. When we really put all of that together, we understand what the psalmist is doing. And when he says, I've taken the word, I've made that a theme, I've made your word a theme to my very worship and praise that I give to you. And in that, I find hope. In that, I will rejoice. Now, even in our darkest of moments, and we all have them, amen? We don't want to glorify them, but we all have them. Even in our darkest moments, the significance of being able to remember God's promises through songs of worship and praise is incredible. Perhaps the most needed time in our life to do so in that darkest of hour. Remember the wondrous works and the promises of God by just uttering out that song. And there may be times you may not be able to sing it very well, but what you're doing is remembering the promises of God. Have you ever been in that setting? I know multiple times here. I personally have been in a setting. Pastor Mike and the team beautifully leading us in worship. The song is just really ministering to me because it's not necessary. You see, I really don't get caught up in the tune, in the worship, in the style of that. I get caught up in what we're singing about and who we're singing to. And I'll listen to that, and sometimes, well, I'm just broken in a good way. You know what I'm talking about? And I may not be able to sing it very well. Sometimes I'm thinking, Sean, Jasmine, I'm sorry. You know, I know this isn't coming out very good. You know, when Mike takes it up an octave sometimes, I'm like, I can't go there, but I'm just going to go there anyway and make a noise. And I'm just singing and praising. Why? Because, man, what God is, he's doing something. And I know he does that in all of us. You know what it took me to? I know it maybe took you there too. It takes me to Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas got thrown into prison. Remember, they had been beaten. Remember, they'd been thrown into prison. Their lives are in danger. And at the midnight hour, the books of Acts tells us they did what? They began to sing songs begin to sing hymns. You know, some of the psalms that they are singing are the psalms that you and I are studying. They begin to sing about the wondrous works of God about around the midnight hour. In one of the darkest moments of their lives and of their ministry, you know what happens. You know what the scripture tells us? That the doors burst open. They broke free from their chains. No one went anywhere. There was a jailer there who got scared and got nervous that his life was going to be taken, but they yelled out to him and said, hey, don't take your own life. Don't do that. Then they begin to witness about Jesus. And then he took him home to his family. And there the word of God was spoken. And it says that night that the entire household rejoiced because they had all received the salvation of the Lord. And did you see how all of that got started? At the midnight hour, the dark hour, they began to remember the wondrous works of God and his promises. And in that moment, they sank them. And God did a mighty and a miraculous work. There is power, I believe, in our songs that speak the truth of God's love and his ways. You know, I said it recently at a memorial service, and I know many of us might say the same thing, and I just really mean it. One of my favorite all-time songs is just Amazing Grace, because it talks about what God does for you and I on a day-to-day basis. We walk in his amazing grace. Also, I want you to see that in remembering the word of God, the psalmist writes here towards the end that he remembers the name of the Lord. Jehovah, Yahweh, I am. Meaning God has no beginning or no end. He is eternal. He is absolute reality and truth. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present. He is faithful, full of unending love, extravagant mercy, that amazing grace, and he will carry out his will for all creation. He is remembering the name of the Lord. The word impressed the psalmist to remember the powerful name of God. I take you to another portion of Psalm 44, just a couple of verses. Through you we push down our foes. Through your name, we tread down those who rise up against us. For not in my bow do I trust, not in my own strength, nor can my sword save me in my abilities. But you have saved us from our foes and have put to shame those who hate us. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. In the name of Jesus is how you and I look at that. Amen. Proverbs 18 and 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it, and they are safe. Then we turn back over into the New Testament, because you and I have been given the promise of Jesus Christ. We consider the name of Jesus, John chapter 20, verse number 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I don't have these up there, but I'm going to go ahead and give them to you. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17. Whatever you do, do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I could keep going, giving you some more. I wasn't sure where the Holy Spirit would lead me, but I'm going to go ahead and give them to you. You go into the Gospel of John, and you're going to see all of the I am statements talking about the name of Jesus, where he says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me, they will not thirst, according to his name. John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 10, verse 7, truly I say to you, I am the door. I am the gate of the sheep. John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for all of us, his sheep. John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14 and 6 and 7, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. John 15 and 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You can study that for a few weeks, amen? Because there's much that goes with that. In the name of Jesus, I have all of these promises towards my life. You see, as the psalmist starts out in this section, the Hebrew letter is Ayin, and he says, God, remember your works and your promises and work on our behalf, and God, I will remember you. The psalmist understood as he did that, the Lord would bring things to his remembrance. And those songs that he had made in his spirit That would do such a powerful thing within him. And also it would point to him remembering the power of the Lord's name in which he operated in. And that same is available for you and I this evening. So as we get ready to go into prayer, I kind of simplified it here at the end. Take note of what the benefits were in remembering God's word, because it's there right in front of you. Bringing the scripture to the forefront of your mind, understanding what the scriptures mean and trusting God will work on your behalf. Notice the benefits here. This is how I see them. Remembering the promises of God's number one, verse 49, it produces hope. Verse 50, it revives overall well-being of our life, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. Verse 50 and 52, it gives comfort. When you look up the Hebrew word comfort, it means God giving strength that you and I may endure. Number four, verse 54, it provides substance and heart to my songs of my worship. And then verse 55 and 56, it guides me to walk in faithful obedience. That's what happens when you remember the promises of God's word. And when you choose to have an authentic reverence and awe for his word, and you choose to walk with him and walk daily in it. There's nothing that you face in this world that the word of God can't help guide you through. It's the word of God that guides us to Jesus, right? It's the gospel that gives us the ability to accept Jesus in our life. And so, church, I just continue to challenge you. I pray that you're receiving much from Psalm 119 because I want you to see the impact and the significance of what it is to be a man and a woman who desires and cherishes the very word of God that you have been given in your life. Because the psalmist is no different than us. Flesh and blood, real life circumstance, real emotion, real anger, real frustration, real heartbreak, real tears, real joy, real love, real compassion. He's just like you and I. And the reason why he was able to be so strong and to endure was because of what we're reading in his writing. Amen. Boy, thank God. God, may the word of God be alive in all of us. It's enduring, everlasting, eternal. It's powerful.